Welcome to this special episode of Lyckligare Nu, or Happier Now, as we call this podcast in English. Today, it's a real honor to have our new friend, Steve Adair, with us. Very welcome, Steve. Nice to have you here.
Thank you. Great to be here with you.
So I thought that we could start off by perhaps you would like to share something about yourself. Who are you in this world of form?
That's always a very interesting question. I always joke to see which part of me is going to present itself now. I love your when you translated what your podcast. I just love that. There's such a simplicity in that I think this now is something that we're so busy trying to capture and be in, when a natural state is to be here now. So who am I now? So I'm originally from Scotland, living in England. The thing that's interesting is I've called myself, my background is psychology, and I was a constant life sector to be a better therapist for people. I do mental health talks, I travel the world speaking on mental health, but I also was a spiritual searcher. And I always felt that the more I understood myself on that understanding, the more my psychology just seemed to be a little less upheavaled. So coming out for 11 years ago, I say reluctantly, because I was at a place in my life where I was very full. I had been studying what felt like all my life. And something in me used to ask, how messed up do I think I am that I happen to constantly go to different courses and learn different things on how to make me better and be a better therapist? But 11 years ago, I heard something that completely stopped me in my tracks, where I couldn't. I tried at the beginning. I listened to three different principles, speakers, and always found a reason why it wasn't true, why psychology wouldn't accept it. And then about 6 months after that, I was fortunate to go out to Salt Spring Island. And I wasn't interested in going to the island to go to any school, which was run by Elsie Spittle and Chip Chipman. I was there because there's a First Nations part of the island, and I love native cultures and their sharings. I was there to go whale watching. I was there to go canoeing, all those kind of things. But of course, wisdom had its own design. And at the meet and greet, which was on the night before the school started, I found myself in a space that I guess I'd forgotten. You know, when you laugh so much that your teeth seem to hurt and your gums hurt because you've laughed so much, and you're actually telling someone, okay, just stop it now, because my body, it's not a sore, but it's like I've been laughing so hard. And I got into bed and I found tears coming down my face. And I just had this simple thought, I've been taking life way too serious. I forgot how to laugh. Now, of course, I did laugh, but not without a care. Not just free in the way that I was. But the next day I woke up and I was back in my thinking, okay, First Nations, here I come. Now, the island is not, Native Canadian people not living on the island, but they use the island, part of it is a ceremony island. And each tribe would honor each as if they would find each other on there at the same time. So I just loved all this energy it was passed down. But I go in the morning and I hear something. And I don't know if it was Chip or Elsie was speaking. And for those who don't know, Sydney Banks, who uncovered the principles, Chip and Elsie was asked to run the school after Sid had passed. And I don't know which one said something, but I had my legs crossed and I had like a speck or something on my trousers. And I went to flick this off. And I heard them say something and it felt, I don't know whether it was 1 moment, 2 moments or 3 moments, but it felt like my chair had gone back and I was just suspended in that space. And in that moment, I now have got to see that I had no thought of personality. Of course, my chair wasn't suspended. It's just what it felt like in that moment, like I was held, I was supported in that moment. And I hear one of them saying, you know, there's such a good feeling in this room. Maybe we should stop now. So I say, well, I need to go and find something. So I go to one of the guys and I think I'm going to speak to Chip. And someone walks in front and I speak to Elsie and I say to her, I don't know what's just happened, but I've had such a beautiful feeling that I know I've just come home. Now, at that time, I wouldn't look at the principles. I wasn't interested. I would think about, not think about them as I need to understand them, but they were just a load of rubbish. It was just another thing from America. That's where I saw it. It was like, what else do you mean to learn? Isn't there enough stuff on the world? But he was me in that moment, just seeing that it wasn't about learning something new, but about really the unlearning that kept me prisoner. And all she says to me was, well, that's lovely, my dear. And gave me a beautiful smile. And I turned round. And as I turned round, with my human eyes for, I don't know, 3 seconds, 4 seconds, I could see no one. All I saw was just energy. The same energy I felt supported with in that moment. So I go back to my chair. And by this point, Steve's personality is back. And I'm thinking, what did I just say? I've just come home. What do I mean by that? And I hear my da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and it's like, oh my goodness, this is who I built up. I began to see personality as something that was formed by me. And believing that outside circumstances also created me. Where in that moment, that personality was still there, but it was the servant of the divine nature of who we are. It wasn't the master, the controller, or whatever kind of words that we use to depict how we're feeling in that moment. So that turned my world completely around. And I went there not wanting to know anything about these three principles. And we decided, or Chip and Elsie decided, that they would just call it a day. And there was an Irish girl there and a guy from New Zealand. And Tony and I hung out with those guys. And we just laughed and laughed about, again, silly things. It's like, really, is this really that? Yeah, and talking about different way people would say things and how we trip ourselves up. And it was just so light. And it was like, gosh, some of these conversations I would have, in my old analytical thinking, wanted to understood why. And I just saw how we make life so much more difficult for ourselves. And what I saw was, and I've seen this much more, even more recently, that, you know, we've built our psychology, our identity, our conceptual understandings on perfection. And that's such a hard place to live in, because we'll never, never reach the perfection model that we create for ourselves. And what I saw with that too was that it's not that you have free will to decide where you look. So what I loved about hearing what I was hearing was that it was coming from inside of me. that quiet, still voice that I would override, was as clear as the day that my feet touched this earth. With the innocence of a child, with the curiosity of a child, and I also saw that thought is neutral and spiritual in nature. And that's what I felt at that moment. I don't know if I can put my hat on what spiritual really is. But I know when I look towards nature, especially being on this farmland where we are now, and even more so seeing how the animals are instinctively moving into a place of preparation, how the trees are letting the leaves go in preparation, how everything is moving with its natural flow of cycle. To me, that's an inbuilt wisdom that I don't understand, but I see clearly. And that's how I really see how we're designed. We have an inbuilt wisdom. It nourishes, it creates, it guides. It has no attachment to the form, apart from wherever we put our direction, its consciousness will allow us to have biofeedback to what we're thinking. And what I saw is that I was in the world of wanting to understand all thinking and why we did that. But thinking is the misunderstanding of thought. And whatever thinking took us into an uncomfortable situation will not be the thinking. It takes us out. But that's what we've done. We've rehashed it over and over. Before we came on air, we talked about being on the hamster's wheel. And that psychology that we just go round and round and round. But what I saw in those moments on Salt Spring, where is the power it even allows us to do that? Where is that wisdom? It seems to come with the feeling of the new breath of life. Where is the feeling that allows the oceans to be the oceans? We're all talking energy and we are energy. So rather than me understanding the spiritual nature, I got to feel it. I got to realize that, wow, this feeling is like home. Not a home where I have to get a sofa or a television or all those kind of things, but a feeling as if everything that I need is there already. Wow, imagine us all living life from there, because that's our truth. Everything that we are looking for, peace of mind, clarity, happiness, it's all there. But we have innocently looked outside of ourselves and believe that's our identity. But just because we think a thought, we don't have to believe it. That was a biggie for me. I thought because I thought it, that it had to be true. And I've had some crazy thoughts that I know I would never react on. And I've just shrugged my shoulders and got on with them. So how comes I can do that with some which are absolutely crazy? And then others, I'm like, back on my hamster wheel. Off I go again. But really what I got to see in this place of being quiet, there was no place for me to get to. I was a meditator, a keen meditator, a teacher of meditation for 15 years. And I love being in that space. I love bringing group consciousness together and losing the words and just seeing the feeling of whatever we want to call love, wisdom, just wave itself through us. But what I really saw, and as I'm talking here, I'm saying me, but I really want to throw this out, that whatever experience that I have through the three principles are my experience, but we all experience life the same way through mind, thought, and consciousness. And there is the human potential that we have to live a life of whatever we want, happiness. And I always find that the more I rest in that quiet, trying to come up with words to describe the indescribable is like, it's like me trying to say it to you in Swedish. There's no way I'm going to be able to get there. If I do say it, you guys will laugh because it will not sound Swedish. So there comes a point that you just know, I can't describe this. But if I just sit with you for a while, maybe, perhaps maybe, you will feel something of your truth. And in that truth, we realize that there's nothing else but to be ourselves. This is the breath and the gift of life, to truly be ourselves. And then again, we get to see. Now, when I used to listen to Sid at the beginning, after I had my, I don't know, let's say, understanding on Salt Spring, he would say things like, there's seeing, then there's seeing. There's knowing, then there's knowing. There's hearing, then there's hearing. And I used to say, oh, it's okay for you saying that. Because I was trying to learn what he was saying. Then I got to the point, I was like, oh, bless you, Steve. There you go. You're still trying to make sense of everything. And that's when I really got a little bit of a glimpse into this perfection model that we create. And really it was the opposite way. It was the unlearning of everything that I thought was right, but causing me unhappiness, maybe anxiousness, maybe fear. Why would I think that was truth? Because it's what society, what life looks like, it's what. But there comes a point in that there's nothing else that we have to see but our true self, that we get to see the knowledge behind our five senses. Our five senses are wonderful at giving us information. Like if I give something to you, smell that, immediately you have a thought storm on. If you like it, it's a beautiful smell. If you don't, we see in your face expression how uncomfortable that is. But that's true for everyone. If we touch something and it's too hot, we immediately, our senses and our fingers will let us know. If someone says something we don't hear or we don't like to see. And it's just information, and it's fed through to our small mind, to our brain. But that can't give us new information. Our small brain only gives us what we key into it. You know, like you key into a computer, 2 and 2 is 5. It's not 2 and 2 is 4, but you've keyed in the information that it's 5. So there's a misunderstanding all the way along. That's what we do with our psychology. There's a simple misunderstanding, maybe because something happened similar before. And the first time it happens, it's like, oh, the second time it happens, it's wedded to a new understanding. That's a belief system. And it's wonderful that we get to see this, and it's wonderful that we get to know all that, because it really can be helpful. But it's just information that we're finding out. It's not truth. So when we get to know that behind all that, in nature's wisdom, you know, Vieira is this nature nurture, where it's, they say it's inside of ourselves where we have that ability to, as nature can be wild, it can have storms, but also there's a nurturing within nature that knows it will be okay through that. And just the other day when I was walking through, and we had 2 nights ago with a really bad storm during the night, and a lot of old trees have come down. And it was just fascinating seeing where they had been uprooted. And it's like, oh my goodness, when you walk past the tree, you don't realize all that connectedness, all that in nature from Mother Earth. And I remember years ago being absolutely fascinated when I watched this research, a Canadian researcher, and she'd gone to Africa and to research these certain trees. And I can't remember the name of the trees, but what she found was that there was a certain tree that as the elephants would come along, the first tree that it would touch would send a signal underground, maybe for miles, and they would all send signals to turn themselves slightly poisonous so that the elephants could only eat so much and leave enough for the giraffes. And so it could have enough on it for itself. And then as soon as the herd had gone past, the last one would send the signal back. Now, this was all underground, inside. And why I got really excited about it is that we have our own information sharing inside, or knowledge sharing inside, that we don't always see, just like the roots that we saw sticking up. But we know that roots are there. It's how they stay solid into the earth. And I think the same spiritual wisdom does that for us. It doesn't root us in the same ways because we're free-flowing, free-moving. But in nature's wisdom, there's a nurturing of self as nature. There will be storms of life. There will be moments that you, as the same used to say in Scotland, I want to stop the bus and get off. And it just means like I've had too much. The bus is full of people and they're all nipping my head. And it's like, of course, the bus is a metaphor. And nipping the brain is there's too many people talking to me. Nothing's making sense to me anymore. And that's a place where I think we run from. But if we understand, like, where we live on the Norfolk Broads, there's beautiful rivers. It flows through. And you see the sailboats or other cruising boats going past. We're very fortunate. There's one about 10 minutes walk from us. And as this river comes round, it's kind of bendy. So it's not a straight. And it's when, especially a sailboat, one of the days I was walking with the dog, I thought, oh my goodness, I can see it coming in the distance. I don't know when it's going to come here. I don't know how it's going to. So I saw the shape of the river and it almost showed me like that's what wisdom is. It's always flowing to us. It always has everything on the boat of life that we need in the moment. But we're so busy like, okay, right, if I run to it, I'll get there quicker. It will come to me quicker and life will be. But when we can find a place of relaxing in the moment, in the now, then we become, rather than trying to make things happen, we become much more open. And the bandwidth of our experience, our consciousness is higher. And we're more in a place to either find a new way to go or be so content with the moment, knowing that, yeah, something's going to happen, something's going to change. And that something will elevate us to something new, which is the moment again. And what I've seen with that, Steve isn't running the show. None of us are running the show. But we can relax in our breath that we will be where we're meant to be each moment. Yes, there's programming. We're in the human experience. So there is things we have to do to get us to the moment. Like we agreed to meet here at this time and so on. So Steve, the personality, had to agree to be here at 2 o'clock and those kind of things. I'm not saying like, don't listen to any of your personality because it's really helpful. But I don't think life was to make ourselves prisoner by ourselves, to capture ourselves by the old unwanted thoughts of the past. There is no past. It's just our thinking in the moment of, I think Sid called it the ghosts of memories of the past. And it's like, yeah, I can see that, because sometimes they haunt me and sometimes they're just so much fun. It's not denying, but it's just seeing that they only have the power that we allow it through our own thinking. And where we place our energy is where we have feedback. So if I'm looking at a negative situation or feeling, which is so interesting because, you know, like I was saying that on the farm that they're harvesting at the moment. And I sent you an email because I was so worried that all you would hear would be the sound. And they've actually stopped now. They've been there since 5:45 this morning. And we came on 2:00.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, I could have really kept myself prisoner, and I did for a while, and I simply sent you an email just to say, look, guys, this is where I'm at the moment. I'm still up for meeting. Where are you at? And that just allowed me to become a little bit unfocused. I didn't have to. It was just like, what can I do in the moment? Okay, just reach out and let them know. And sometimes that's all that's needed for us to have feel the breath of the new thought. It's like a train coming in on the tracks. There are always carriages of new thought, bringing us new inbuilt wisdom to be more present to whatever's happening in our life. Even when all this is going on, it's still happening. And the more that we learn to look in that direction, we see that wisdom has our back.
Yeah, that reminds me of something that I read the other day. A company wrote that in this company, we never give up. And on one level, I guess that's really good. But on a personal level, I see that as a bit stubborn. To me, giving up is really a way of going forward. Because when I give up in my thinking, then I see something new. And sometimes that is required to, you know, to go forward, to drop what you thought was true before. And in the three principles community, we often talk about, you know, stinky thinking. But what I have seen the last days and or the last weeks is that we often have like sticky thinking, you know, like these post-its. It's like we have that's one, and then we have another like that, and then it's really, you know, hard to see clear because that's in your way. But when we just give up and be quiet for a moment, then we can see something new. And Niklas, you know, you have this great way of talking about how you meet a new person.
Yeah, it's a new person every day you meet her, even if you have known her for 10 years. So when you see her tomorrow, it's a new person, because probably she's not at her same thinking when you meet her next time. So it's always a new person that you meet. You can go back to the old person, but then you have to go back to what's happened yesterday and go back in your memories and go up in your head. But if you have the courage to don't get up in your head when you see that person again, it's a new person. And I take quite a lot of help on that in my work as a salesman, because we can have a customer meeting with a customer that is quite angry because we have not fulfilled what we have promised. And the next week we're going back there, and I can be prepared in my thinking on what the customer said last week, or I can go in and see, okay, this is a new person. It's a new now. Let's see what's happened. Otherwise, I will go in prepared with a lot of arguments that probably will start the argument again. But if I go in and just be me and listen, really listen, the problem that was last week has disappeared. And that's quite magic for me. But I love your talk, Steve. I'm just calm down when you talk. I love to hear everything that you said about the connection via the trees. It's the same connection we have to each other, the connection of all mankind that we have forgotten. And I can actually feel that connection here now, even if we are not in the same room. We are connected. If we allow us to go outside our personal mind and just be the person who looks out from the eyes.
Yeah, I really like to go into nature and bring my dogs, and I know you do that too, Steve, to enjoy the beauty of the nature and explore. Do you mean there's something really special there? But it's only when I'm in that space that Niklas is talking about. When I'm not seeing nature. What is it that you really enjoy about being in nature?
Well, I think first of all, what is really happening is we are always in that neutral state. Our true nature isn't the thinker. It looks like the thinker takes us away from the natural state. And I used to think that, oh, I need to go to nature to get calm. So it always looked like it was nature, being in nature and different stuff. And until some moments where I'd go to maybe on a walk that I really loved, that I'd still come back feeling upset or like, okay, so what happened to the trees? Were they sleeping today? Or and it really started pointing to, it's like, it was nothing to do with the trees. The trees were being trees. They were still giving the same energy. They were still working as the system as they were. But the person who walked around thinking was me. The other night, we wanted to go around the broad, so we go over the farmlands, and we got to the bit that the sun was setting. And we decided just for like not even a minute up the path from where our house is. And as the open fields and the sun started to set, and the two of us just went quiet. And I have never seen a sunset like it in all my life. At one point, it looked like there was mountains in the clouds, and there was a stream going through it. And it looked like there was a lake that it was going. And I was going to get my phone out to take the photograph, but I just stopped and I thought, no, be the moment. Because even if I take a photograph, it's not going to give me what I was seeing in that moment. Now, I knew in that moment I would never see a sunset like that again. And that is thought. We never have the same thought twice. It just looks like it does. Because the more we get lost in our thinking, which is our personal identity, conceptual understanding, belief systems, all the other times the information that we felt something similar just comes all flooding in. So it's not just the moment that we're confused about, it's all the other times as well. So what we're upset about is never what we think we're upset about. It could be something that just really ticked us off, something maybe just simply upset us. So nature allows us to see that it's always, the trees don't move. They're just that one solidness in our own life. And I know that to be true. So when I go to nature, whether it's, we're also lucky that we're on the coast, so there's so many beaches around the coast, and they're all slightly different. And at this time, because of the storms are coming up, the golden sandy beaches, but there's some pebbles getting washed up from the sea, and it's like, ah, that's what happens when the storms, rather than, oh my God, my sandy beach is a mess because of the pebbles. No, that's what happens. But also what happens, there will be beach when it comes to maybe, beachcombers when it comes to maybe February, March, who go and start collecting those pebbles. And I don't know what they do with them, but they start clearing the beach again for the summer ahead. So I don't think all that when I'm in nature. Or I think it and it's gone. Just like when you stand and watch the ocean, you never see the same piece of ocean twice as it kisses the sand. And as it comes out, it tucks itself under. It's majestic. So nature is majestic and it's nature. Us too. And we're so busy investing on what's happening up top in our thinking. And that can be really beautiful to understand, but I spent more time investing in what I need to know. And just knowing that when I go, and whatever part of nature, whether I come back and I've thought the whole way around it, that's just what happened in that moment. It doesn't mean the next time that I go on that walk, the same thing's going to happen. And we get to see we're our own best teacher. We get to see how we're showing up. I love when Nicholas was saying that. It's like every moment we are gifted to see someone like we've never seen them before. Every moment we are gifted to see ourselves like we've never seen ourselves before. Now, how beautiful is that? Which means that you can get let go of maybe the way that you innocently got annoyed at someone and shouted at them, or I don't know, maybe someone cut you up in the car and you, or whatever it may be. You don't have to stay in that moment regurgitating it on the hamster's wheel. And the more that we get to understand the true design of life is inside out, the more we get to be present to the now, the less time we want to analyze who did that, why did they do that, could they have done different? We just think like, okay, that sometimes that really sucks, that's really difficult, and I can't get into why, because I know that I will bring my past, and if I was worried then, I'll be even more worried when I bring all that stuff and walk around with a big heavy weight on my shoulders. We get to be like, you know, when you go and watch a movie and you've paid your ticket and you go in and you get all excited to see the movie and up comes your life story on the screen. That's what thought is like with consciousness and mind. Mind is the power to know that something will come on the screen. in consciousness, the ability to give us the sound effects and the feelings and so on, we have the front row seat of every experience that we have. We are the guardian of our own well-being, whether we believe it or not. And that's a great thing that I found about these principles. You don't have to believe them to know that they're working. I love when I found that out. I would have been there with marking everything that, no, psychology wouldn't agree with. No. What kind of thinking or feeling state was I in then? Stiff back, sore shoulders. That's what overthinking does for me. So that's my feedback system, you know, just like when you're driving your car and you need petrol. There's a little thing comes on your dashboard and it lets you know, please feed me more petrol. We have little signs that come into our system. And the feelings, consciousness. And if we don't listen, they'll get more. It might be like, oh, I've got a twinge in my back. If we don't listen and we continue to do it, then it'll become a more. And before we know it, life is a way of making us stop and really listening to what's happening. I see that in nature. I see that there's a divine energy at play in nature. I don't have to come home when we were out on our walk last night and saw these beautiful big three trees had been smashed. I don't have to come home crying because the tree is no longer with us. And the first thing I looked, is it still rooted? No, it's unrooted, so it's gone. So the next phase is ready to happen. And that's what happens to us. Just because we think a thought, we don't have to believe it. It doesn't mean it's the end of the world. It just means at that moment, we have the opportunity to see life like we've never seen it before. Because thought is neutral. There is nothing loaded on it. We paint on it. We make the movie up of what's happening. Thought is neutral, spiritual in nature with an inbuilt wisdom. It knows you better than our personality ever could. And when we look more towards that, that's why we connect to nature in the way that we do, because it's who we truly are. We don't have to stand there and say, look, yes, I'm like a tree and pretend we've got branches and so on. And we don't have to look like a tree to know that we are the same energy. And when you leave a tree alone, what does it do? When you, like in the new garden that we've got, this it's much bigger, and I absolutely love daffodils and tulips. And to me, it's like, yes, there's new energy, the spring coming, the seasons are changing. And I had so much joy putting those bulbs in the garden about a month ago. And I completely forgot all about that until it's just come into my consciousness again. And that's what we do. We are constantly moving and moving and moving in our thinking. And then something takes us, and it's up to us where we hook into it in an unhelpful way or let it go in a helpful way. But we get that free will. Now, I know I went off and what do you get from nature? But I don't know what I get until I get it. I think that's probably it. But if you erase everything I've just said and just say that line, we don't know what it is until we get it. And that's true of life. We don't know what's going to happen until it happens. I really saw that about 5 years ago. I was asked to speak at the 3PGC conference in America. And I was talking with George Bransky, Dr. George Bransky. And it's the first time I'd speaking with George. And I was, I really got in my thinking about it. And I didn't sleep well that night before. And I just heard sadly that just as we were leaving to go to the airport, that a good friend of mine's husband had died. So I was full of all the thinking that I couldn't be there for her. I was in America, she was in the UK. And this, I was just bummed out. I just didn't feel right. And then I was going down for breakfast. There was another colleague from the UK had come over with us. And Tony and Harb went down to get something to eat. And as we were going down an elevator, I thought, no, I don't want this. So I says, guys, I'm just going to go back. I just need to be on my own. And I went back up in the elevator and I went into the bed and I lay on the bed and I says, oh, poor Margaret, she's my friend. And this something just says to me, how do you know what's happening to her right now? And I looked up as if someone was in the room with me. It was so clear. And I just thought, I don't. Yeah, she's probably upset because her husband's just died. But how do I know they have a swimming pool? How do I know that she's not in the swimming pool? How do I know that she's not out having a coffee with one of her granddaughters? How do I know that she's not sitting having a laugh with one of her friends? All I know is what I know. And right now, my thinking isn't giving me a good experience. And from that, I also was like, oh my God, it's 8:30 in the morning. I'm not speaking with George until 3 p.m. in the afternoon. Why am I living at 3 p.m. when it's only 8:30 in the morning? So I jumped up, went back down in the elevator. My friend Antonio's face was like, oh my God, are you all right? I said, yeah, I'm here for breakfast. Oh, I thought that was then. It's not now. And I just saw it. I just saw for myself the gift of thought, the gift of being in the moment, the gift of just allowing our wisdom to just open new doors to us. And I was grateful that I took that at the moment because I could have overrode it, or it looked like I could have. But it just felt so right. And that taught me so much that we are our own best teacher. So when we speak about our inside-out nature or the three principles, it isn't of something you have to understand. It's something you already are. You are these principles in action. And that's the beautiful thing about it. So you can let yourself off the hook of having to be a searcher, of having to be someone who intellectually understands these. We can understand, yes, a four-year-old can understand. You can tell your children these are the three principles and they'll tell you straight back. It doesn't mean that they know what the principles are. But yet in their nature of how they are, they're probably acting more from the principles than what we are, because our intellect as adults becomes so much more. And in your work, I'm sure as a coach, Nicholas, that you find that children have that buoyancy to bounce through so much more quicker and just grasp it quicker, because they're not so invested in their identities. Or if they are, they'll tell you exactly where we're at in that moment. Whether we have our stories of, oh, I can't say that, because then they'll really be, we make up so much stuff. And I have just loved seeing, and I go back to what Nicholas had said, it's like in every moment we have the opportunity to see it like never before. I'll never see that sunset because that's what it's doing. And it's not because the sun's determined to be horrible to me. It's not that it's playing a joke and saying, right, you're never going to see me. It's just how it is. So if we go looking for the same thing all the time, it won't happen. And I just love that we can be open to seeing that, that nature is nature. And we have that choice to just be in the moment and our nature within ourselves.
Yeah. And that's what I love about nature. I have a special place that I like to go to out here in the forest. They're really old trees and it looks really old and like trolls are living there and so on. And what's so obvious to me is that there's no thinking there. I mean, the trees are not thinking, at least I can't see it. And so there's no judgment. So if it's really stormy and the trees are standing like this, they're not like, oh, do you feel the storm today? It's really horrible. I mean, they're just in the moment. They're standing there, just being. And we can do that too. We can just be in the being part of us. even though that is storming around and so on. That's a really good reminder for me when I'm out in nature to just enjoy the stillness and to see that you don't have to be thinking about everything. You don't have to have that sticky thinking. You can just be in the moment and see what happens.
When you said that, reminded me one of the times when I was out doing a program in Gothenburg, and I was trying to find out more information from of what was going on for a particular woman, and her English wasn't really that good. And one of them had says to me, "Now I possibly will say this wrong, and I hope when I say it, but one of the people who were there just says, oh, she's just wearing her Ufterkofta."
Yeah.
Cardigan.
Offerkofta.
That's
yeah.
It. And I really laughed, not because, I mean, but it just really helped me understanding perhaps that's where that lady was, and not knowing to have to go in to make sense of why she was being that way, but just, okay. So her thinking tells her that's where she's living. And when we think it, we become it. So she doesn't know right now there's anything other than the cardigan that she's wearing, because that's what life looks like to her. And that was so different, like, from the trainings I've had before that I would have to really go into. So at what age did you first see your cardigan? And is it a knitted cardigan? And did someone gift it? We don't need to know all the information. And I think that was really beautiful, Philip, when you say that when you just go there. And I'm sure each time that you've gone there, it's been slightly different in its feeling state, because you would have been different in your feeling state. But there is something that we can guarantee: the nature within ours is always the same way. It may feel different, but it's always. I remember someone saying to me, when I sit with you, and I didn't know how to take it the very first time, but it's like, I just feel the most unbelievable feeling of love. And at that time, I was like, well, why am I not feeling that then? And then I saw, well, if you look to try to create that kind of love that they're talking about, you can't create that, because our human love, oh, I've just bought you flowers, or should I buy you candy, or should I take you out? And it's like we have conditions to say to someone, but not always, because we can just see something and, oh, think of someone and just buy them for them because it just felt right in the moment. But the love that they were speaking about was that same love of seeing someone like never before, that same love as going and being with the trees. It's not the trees that creates the moment, it's you that creates the moment with the trees. Love to love, soul to soul, heart to heart, but not in a form way. But if trees don't stink, there's no place for us to be lost. There's no questions to ask. So in simplicity, we should do less thinking.
Yeah, and just be from that place that it can just radiate out. When you don't have that thinking, the love just radiates out in all kinds of directions. And I can go in the most wonderful feeling in the forest, and suddenly I meet someone, and then my thinking starts, like, oh, you know, I shouldn't really look this happy now, because they will think I'm weird. So then you sort of you focus that feeling into just a field, or just in one angle or something. And it's the same with the flowers. It's the same love, but it's just so narrow. It's not full bandwidth. Just radiating. I think this have been a really, really nice moment and really, really good time this Friday to have a talk with you, Steve, and to share this moment together. In this world that we're living in, time is something that we have to, you know, take into consideration. And sadly, I feel that we should probably round up now. But before we do, is there anything more that you would like to share? And perhaps how people can get into contact with you, and if there is something other special that you would like to mention around what you're working with and offering to your clients and people.
I think the easiest way is there is a presence I have on Facebook, which is Steve Adair. So my name, Steve Adair Mentoring. I have my personal page, but the Steve Adair Mentoring, where I update things that I have. And I think, I think that's enough, because I did it with my website and so on. So I'm looking at creating a new website, which I've just decided over the last few days. So I'm looking into building that. But for now, I think Facebook is nice for people to go to.
Sure.
And I will post on there also things that what I'm up to and different things. But I've really enjoyed hanging out with you both. It's been wonderful just to, you know, when you kind of just tear yourself too, and it's like, I didn't realize I felt that way. I think when we allow ourselves just to be with one another, there's invitation. What is it you're... be here now. What does it stand for, your podcast name?
Happier Now.
Here Now, yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel this beautiful feeling that Nicholas was saying is, that's really danced for me today as well. So thank you, both of you.
Yeah, I loved it. And the time just fly by, and that happened when we are present, and that happened when we are in the now.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Steve. This has been a really, really lovely time, and I hope many will listen and enjoy and hear the wisdom that you're speaking of, and also the very nice place that you're coming from.
Thank you.
Yeah, and hopefully we can see each other in Sweden sometimes.
Sure. I am in talks again to look at doing something when we're allowed to fly and those kind of things. So I can let you guys know when I'm coming over to Sweden to be doing a retreat or something, and hopefully we can get to meet in person.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
It would be nice.
Yeah. Thank you.